And they really did send greetings with me this time. So they said to say hi to everybody. So I'll give you a wave. Would you send greetings back to them? We have so many great Kenyan Christians that we work with. And we're blessed. We're so blessed to have you as part of us. Yeah. I really value your prayers. I value even more that Jesus answers those prayers, by the way. But thank you so much. We're just in a quite interesting part of our lives. I mean, we're kind of, you know, hitting over the hill there. But God is just birthing something new in us. In fact, we're calling it our new baby. We're AfriLift is giving birth to a new structure, if you like, or new baby. And of course, you know, you women who have had babies, birthing babies can be painful, but the joy of birthing a baby is great. So we're setting up a new structure for the children's ministry training, and we'll be seeing a little bit about that on the PowerPoint that Scott's going to help us with now. So thank you again. Our new organization is called Msingi wa Watoto, which means the foundation of children, and you guys are like a foundation to me. It's just so great. The way you care for missionaries, you guys, you're a delight. It really is. I feel at peace here. I feel like I'm resting. And I just love the way you care for us. Thank you, all of you that have involved. Well, all of you probably that are involved in serving us missionaries. We so appreciate. Thank you, Scott.
Hallelujah. You guys have blessed us in an incredible way. You've sowed into our ministry. We have seen hundreds and hundreds of young people changed with the gospel. And when you give, you receive. So I'm believing with you, the empty seats will be filled. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to talk this morning about God's generosity. Let me take a reading from the book of Wikipedia. There is 8.8 billion habitable Earth-sized planets existing in the Milky Way. Continue reading from Wikipedia. Stars are not scattered randomly through space. They are gathered into vast groups known as galaxies. The sun belongs to a galaxy called the Milky Way. Astronomers estimate there are 100,000 million stars in the Milky Way alone. 100,000 million stars. Outside there are millions upon millions of galaxies. If you could travel at the speed of light, it would take you 100,000 years to cross the Milky Way alone. It is just beyond belief that all that exists. Why would God create all those billions of planets and the billions of stars? Well, one day we'll get to ask him, but I think it is just a demonstration of God's generosity. He can do it. So he did. This is what it says in the book of Job. Job 36:26. This is one of the oldest books in the Bible, and yet, you know, people that study people, what are they called? They have pictures of Stone Age man, and you know we were half monkeys. But how come the oldest book in the Bible, Job, is describing how the earth and the planet works and the rain and everything else? So I can't figure that one out. How great is God beyond our understanding. The number of his years are past finding out. He draws up drops of water, which distill as rain to steam. The clouds pour down their moisture, and abundant showers fall on mankind. Who can understand how he spreads out the clouds, how he thunders from the pavilion? See how he scatters his light about him, bathing the depths of the sea. This is the way he governs the nations and provides food in abundance. You know, God has just created an incredible, incredible world. I mean, they talk about the crises of the world. Australia could feed 1 billion people. You know, all you need is water. And the amazing thing is, as the technology, as the world progresses and more people are there, all of a sudden somebody comes up with an invention to grow more and more food for more and more people. It's just incredible. You know, scientists look at the universe, and when they look at matter, they're looking at solid things. They can only discover, they can only identify 50% of the matter in the universe. So what is the other part of the universe the scientists cannot identify? My guess, it's the spiritual side. You know, there are thousands, or there are billions probably, of angels out there. And they're not just out there worshiping God. Yes, in heaven, they're worshiping God. But there are other angels that come down and minister to man. In Hebrews 1:14, it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation?" They're sent to serve us. They're sent to look after us. They're sent to, when we pray, we're praying for that unsaved man across the road or whatever it might be. The angels are going along and knocking on his door, and the Holy Spirit is there knocking on his heart. What an incredible God. How generous he is. When I was living in Nairobi is interesting because it's a city of the greater Nairobi area is about 10 million people. And in the last 30 years, the city's grown from 1 million to 10 million. But the infrastructure just hasn't kept up. So there is huge traffic jams. And people are just going nowhere much of the time. So I ride a motorbike so you can get in and out of the traffic. I can get to the farm much quicker. And one day I was coming back from our farm, and I was riding my motorbike, and it had been raining a bit. And I was coming along, and I wasn't going that fast, about 70k. And there was a line of cars coming towards me. And my side of the road, the left side of the road, was totally clear. So I was getting along not too fast. But all of a sudden, this minibus comes around the corner on the wrong side of the road. On my side of the road, I had nowhere to go, so I slam on my brakes, and then my motorbike starts sliding this way. And you know, I've been riding since I was 14, so I knew how to correct it. But I'm heading straight towards this minibus, but because I can't go off the road because there's big rocks and everything off the road, and it's a tarred road. And I'm going along, so my speed got down to about 50k, and I tried to get around this bus, this minibus, and then all of a sudden there was a mighty whack on my shoulder, and I just thought I'd clipped it. But the amazing thing is, I didn't, you know, when you hit something at 50 kilometres an hour, you'd normally flip to your left, but all of a sudden I was going straight on the road. And then I got home, and I took off my shirt and I thought, I should be bruised. There was no bruise there. There was no pain there. And I don't know if it was an angel or not, but to me, it seemed that an angel, because when I went through what happened, my bike did not respond how it should normally, you know. And so I hit a vehicle at 50 kilometres an hour. I had no room to go off on the left of the road, and yet I survived, never fell off, and I've done that before, but I never fell off. You know, that is the God we serve. And I think all of us can go through when we've had close calls and wonder. God is so generous that he's actually given us angels to look after us. And isn't that just incredible? God cares for you and I so much that he just doesn't leave us alone. He is generous towards us. In the Old Testament, they had names for God. And I'll just read four of them. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. He heals. Incredible. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He provides for us. Isn't that awesome? Jehovah Sham, the Lord is there. And Jehovah Mikodeshkam, the Lord who satisfies you. We should be satisfied. We should be content in our hearts because the Lord satisfies. He is so generous that he satisfies us, gives us contentment. Most of the world is not satisfied with what they have. We can be satisfied with what we have. He's generous in grace. Means he's not small-minded. When we go astray a little, you know, if people, we're trying to reach them for the gospel, we're trying to bring correction in their lives, and they go astray, we just, oh, well, she'll be right, we'll just leave them. But the Holy Spirit is called, in one place, the Hound of Heaven. He never gives up. He keeps trying and trying and trying and trying. And when we say, hey, that guy's a loser, you know, I'm just not investing any more time into them, the Holy Spirit is still knocking on the door of his heart right until the day he passes away. What an incredible, incredible generous God. Then he's generous in wisdom. Daniel was taken away as a slave, put into, they realized that he was from a royal background. He had had an education. They started to train him in the ways of his captives. And then, with that training, but God gave him 10 times the wisdom of all the other people that had gone through the training or the university or whatever, 10 times the wisdom. What a generous God. We should be succeeding because when we're faced with problems, our generous God gives us how many times the wisdom? 10 times the wisdom. And that was before the Holy Ghost was given. We that are filled with the Holy Ghost can have revelations, understandings, 10 times the wisdom. And in the New Testament it says, when we need wisdom, we can ask of God and he gives it to us liberally. Hallelujah. Or generously. You know, Adam was a friend of God. God came down and talked to him in the garden. But of course we know the story. Adam stuffed up and Jesus came and made a way. But when he made that way, he's making way for us again to be a friend of God. The generous God didn't chuck out mankind. He loves to come to us and minister to us. And then, of course, he's generous in salvation. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. He gave us the most precious thing. If anybody wanted to touch my children, I'd say, no way, Jose. You can kill me, but don't kill my kids. But God sent his son to die. The most generous gift possible. And then, as I mentioned before, there's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And this is what it says at Jesus in Matthew 8:16. Matthew 14:35. When the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all the sick to him. They begged him to let just them to touch the edge of his garment. All who touched him were healed. All. Give the person next to you a high five and say, all were healed. All were healed. Hallelujah. All were healed. Anybody need healing today? All were healed. I've seen it happen in Africa. Everybody healed. I've seen it happen when I've been itinerating and preaching. All were healed. Sometimes we suffer with stuff, and God's intention, all were healed. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. How many received? All. 120, but there was only 120 in the room. All were here, were filled. How generous. He doesn't have the selective few. Hey, you're my buddies, you're not. All, salvation for all, healing for all, the Holy Spirit for all. Because he's unlimited. He is just has such a generous look upon your life. He doesn't bring favoritism. He gives generously to you and to me, every one of us. Being a missionary, I'm not anybody special. I'm just called to something different. But God's dimension is available for us all. Now we need to remember, in Genesis 1:26 and 27, it says, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, so that we may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals, and all the creatures that moved along the ground. So God created mankind in his image. In this image, God was created them, male and female. He created us to be like what? To be like him. And what is God? God is generous. God is creative. God is beyond belief that of in generosity. And that is how we are made. You know, he likes to partner with us in his generosity. I remember this young man. I was came to us one day. I was in my office, and my office was at the back of the property, and we had this German Shepherd, a long-haired German Shepherd, and this German Shepherd had we never taught him this, but when I was sitting in the office and nobody was around, if somebody would come to the gate, this German Shepherd would come in right into my office. And then he would go, like this, make this funny motion. And that told me there's somebody at the gate. And so I was not at home, and I was sitting in my office preparing a sermon. And the German Shepherd comes, tells me somebody's at the gate. So I go out to the gate, and there was a young guy there. Now, normally we do not help young people at the gate. right? We normally help people that we know through the programs that we're involved in, because Nairobi is just full of beggars, and there's millions of people in Kenya that need help. So we target people that programs can reach. But anyhow, this young man was at the came to the gate, and he was said, "Look, I have done my schooling, but I need some money to help me pay for my exam fee. And I've learned," and I was sharing with the guys last night, "listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying." So I felt God just prompt something in my heart, you know. So I said to the young guy, I said, "Look, just wait here a few minutes. Let me go into the office. I just want to do something." So I'll go into the back to my office, and I say, "Lord, I don't normally give at the gate, but what are you up to?" And I felt God say, "Give this young man this money." So I gave him, I don't know what it was, $10 or $20 equivalent, and he went off. He came back a few weeks later and said, "Well, look, here's my exam results, you know. I passed my exams. Thank you for the help." Anyhow, next time he came back, I was away. He came on a Sunday, and Margaret was just about to drive out to church. And so Margaret said, when he came, Margaret said, "I can't help you now, but get in the car. I'll take you to church and we can talk after." So she takes him to church, and the guy gets gloriously saved and became a wonderful young Christian. Now, at that time, I was pastoring a church in Nairobi, and this young man then came to me, and he said, "Robin, I really want to study to be a mechanic." And I said, "Well, I've learned a principle in faith. What you do is you do what you can with what you've got." So I said, "I want you to go to all the different places where you can study mechanics and come back to me in 2 weeks and show me what you've come up with." So anyhow, we prayed, and this young man went off. 2 weeks later, he comes back at our appointed time, and I went through all the papers of these different institutions. And I said, "Well, that's very good, but unfortunately, I do not have any money to help you." So we prayed again. Anyhow, a few days later, this young man had a dream. He saw himself walking in the industrial area. We have a part where all the factories are and stuff in Nairobi, the panel shops, all that sort of stuff is in a particular part of Nairobi. They're spread out, but there's one particular part where the majority are. He saw himself walking in the industrial area down a street, and then he saw a signboard in his dream. And he saw himself walk into that place. So he, when he woke up, he said, "I'm going to the industrial area to find the street that I saw in my dream." So he walks around and he finds the street that he saw in his dream. He walks down the street, and then he sees the signboard that he saw in his dream. So he walks into the company, and he says to the reception, "Can I see the managing director?" And next thing, he's sitting in the managing director's office. Now, when you've got a million beggars in Nairobi, and when you've got 73% youth unemployment, you cannot just walk into companies and see the managing director, particularly when it's a big company. But somehow the secretary must have thought he had an appointment or whatever. He's in the managing director's office. So he says to the managing director, "I would like to," and it happened to be a farm machinery company. And he said, "I want to be trained to be a mechanic." The managing director said, "Well, I'm sorry, we do not offer training here." And he says, "We do not need to employ anybody." But anyhow, this young man seemed to click with the managing director and talked on about how he wanted to be trained. In the end, the managing director said, "Look, we do not have any training here, we do not have any job here. But he said, I tell you what, if you will come on Monday, we'll start training you. Then he said, look, you need some money for a bus fare, so I will pay you personally out of my pocket the bus fare. And the bus fare was equal to the average wage at that time. So here is no job, here is no training, and yet God created it. See, we serve a God of creation. And when there is nothing, he can speak and something will happen. See, you just understand how generous God is. You know, when we look at our resources, we look at our budget. And some of you look at the budget and it's a bit tight. But we have to learn to speak over our budget, to speak over our resources and say, my God is a generous God. My God is a creator. And you know, he is a friend of ours. He likes to work with us. He likes to give us ideas. One of the most incredible resources in the world is our brain. Every advancement that mankind has made from, if we were the Stone Age, I'm not sure about that, but I know we weren't monkeys, but every advancement has come through an idea, through a man's brain. Now, not all of them are God-given ideas, I'm sure. Some of them are man-given, because our brain is incredibly creative in itself. But when we tap into God, our brain becomes even more empowered, because as Daniel got, 10 times the wisdom. God is so generous. Oops, my tablet has done a funny thing. And as I mentioned before, the most generous thing God gave was salvation. So if we're made in God's likeness, we should be concerned for salvation, right? And as Jared was mentioning before, yes, you guys are generous here. You guys here are generous and are given to missions. But also, we've got to be looking at Caboolture. Salvation to Caboolture, because that is on God's heart. And it's a thrill to hear some of the outreaches and see the Sudanese kids here, and they made us feel at home seeing them. But, you know, we have got to be concerned for other people's salvation. And yes, praise God, you're involved in missions. But when you walk into your factory or your classroom or the supermarket or wherever you may be tomorrow, you are made in God's likeness to bring salvation to that place. And if we can comprehend our generous God that wants to save the world has created you in his likeness to be generous, it's beyond belief. What is the Aussie lifestyle? What does it revolve around? You know, we need a better car, we need a boat, we want a caravan, we're bombarded with... Do they still get junk mail here? You get junk mail, you need this and this and the television, you turn it on and you need the cruise in the Caribbean, you know. And that is bombarded into this culture. I want, I need... Do you know what? If we can come and with the Spirit of God upon us, with a generosity, don't be afraid to, you know, it's good to be generous in church, but God is not just generous in church or not just generous to Christians. He's actually generous to everybody. And we should not be afraid to buy a pie for somebody that's struggling or I'm talking out there, you know. bake a cake for the neighbor that is having a hard time, whatever it might be. Our whole lifestyle should be the opposite to the Aussie dream of I need that boat, I need that cruise, I need, you know, if you go for a cruise, that's fine. You know, God wants to bless us. But I'm not saying we shouldn't have better things. God made us that way, that we actually, you know, we strive for better things. But that's, you know, it's seek first the kingdom and then those things. So there's nothing wrong with desiring things. But what I'm saying is that should not be our passion. That should not be our driving force. It is we come in a different spirit of generosity, of willing to share our resources, willing to go the extra mile. Just amazing when you tap into God's generosity. You know, He does way more than you could ever dream of. You saw on the clip, you know, our farm. We started a street boys farm to rehabilitate street boys. We've sent out 3 missionaries from the farm, now ministering in amongst an unreached people's group of Muslims. The Muslims believed that the land was cursed in the area they were. They were beside a huge, huge river, half a kilometer across, and yet they were starving. And the Christians went there, and what they did is they said, our God is greater than any curse. They prayed, then they planted crops, they took water from the river and put it on the crops, and the crops grew. And the Muslims were amazed because they said the land is cursed. And 3 of our young men are there in this area reaching Muslims through agriculture, through education. God cares for the lost. And God that is generous. You know, I experienced this when I first went to Bible college. How our creative God is just so awesome. I went to Bible college. Margaret and I had just been married a year. We had a little son, or just over a year. And I moved down to Wellington from my hometown is New Plymouth, if any of you know New Zealand. Moved down to Wellington, 200 and something K. And people told me before I left, they said, you know, to get jobs in Wellington at this time is very difficult. And to get part-time jobs, which I needed to get through Bible college, is very difficult, incredibly difficult, near impossible. So, but we felt God was calling us. We saved up our money. We went, moved down, paid our school fees, rented a house. And as I was paying the school fees, I said to the receptionist at the Bible college, I said, well, that's most of my money gone. I need to find a job. And this lady said, do you know what? To get part-time jobs in Wellington at the moment is near impossible. She said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a butcher. She says, well, why don't you try the butcher that supplies the Bible college with meat? So I'd been in Wellington 3 hours. I walked up the street, a few hundred meters, walked in, and the guy said, you can start tomorrow. The other thing is, now you young people will laugh at this, the older ones will relate to me. I was getting $68 a week, a full-time job. He started me on $62 a week. And so that was a blessing. Anyhow, the pastor from the church was away on a missions trip when I joined the church in Wellington. And when he came back, he started preaching. You know, we need to give more, pray more, go more in missions. And right at that time, God dropped in my heart something. Now, The first 2 weeks we'd been there, because I'd earned $62 a week, I'd learned to give my tithe, and I gave more than a tithe. I've never tithed. I've always given more. And so I gave $10 a week, right? And then as the pastor was preaching, God dropped in my heart, give $20 a week. Increase your giving to $20 a week. So I talked it over with Margaret, and the following Sunday, we did as God said. We gave $20 in the offering. Now, we had to pay $30 rent. We had to spend $10 a week on transport and $10 a week on food. It didn't leave much more. But I obeyed the Lord. When it came Monday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I went to my part-time job before Bible college. I walked in the door. As I walked in the door, the boss said to me, "Oh, Robin, I need to see you in my office." Now, when the boss calls you to the office, you're usually... and so my mind was on, what have I done wrong? Because, you know, it was immediately as I walked in the office, walked into the place. And so I'm following the boss to the office, and my mind is going around, what have I done wrong? I walk in the office, and the boss says, "Robin, you know, you're married, you have a little son." He said, "How are you surviving?" And my mind was still on what I had done wrong, and he's asking me, "Do you have enough money?" And then he said to me, "Robin, look, if you will work two or 3 hours on a Thursday night, late night shopping, I will give you $30 a week." So, you know, now I had listened to the Holy Spirit, I obeyed the Holy Spirit, and got a 50% pay increase. Now, please, when the offering comes around, don't think that you can put something in and you'll get a 50% pay increase. It's not guaranteed, okay? I wish it would happen. The secret is listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And, you know, I've experienced God, the God of generosity. I was in New Zealand a couple of years ago, and I had been there for a cancer checkup. I'd had cancer, and praise God, I'm 100% clean. And I'd been there for a checkup, and I was with my daughter. And I was just there for a short while, and it was the weekend before I was to leave. So on the Saturday, I said to my daughter, let me take you shopping so I can buy you a birthday present. And that was my plan for the Saturday. But Saturday morning before I left, I was doing my devotion, and I was just talking to the Lord as we do. And then I started to think about Kenya. You know, at our street kids' farm, we have no one underwriting our building program. But for 5 years, we've been building continuously. You know, as we finish one building, another donor comes along. As we finish another building, another donor comes along. Anyhow, I was just thinking, look, my builder has only got a couple of weeks' work left. It was just a thought, you know, as I was thinking about, and it was a part of my devotion. Well, I went to the shopping mall, and then as I was walking around to buy a birthday present for my daughter, my mobile rang, and it was a farmer from 1,000 kilometres away in the South Island. And he said, "Robin," he said, what are you planning for the farm next?" And I said, He said, "You know, building-wise." And I said, "Oh, I'm thinking of a classroom block." He said, "Oh, how much will that cost?" And I said, "Oh, I think it's $100,000. I said, "I don't have the exact figures here." He said, "You know, I was bumped into a friend of mine, and we were talking about these people that go and do cruises and all of this. And he said, "You know, we decided maybe we should do something different. We should do a project in Africa." He said, "I think between us and some of our friends, we can come up with $100,000. You know, I didn't appeal for money. I didn't beg for money. People just, if you tap into God's generosity, people come chasing you. So let me give you quickly 4 points. I've got 30 seconds left to preach. Okay. Live a generous lifestyle. Okay? Tithing is a guide, not a law. But tithing is for beginners. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. When God is telling you to be generous, that stretches your finance, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Be specific with God. I write a list of what I'm wanting. Remember, we are made in God's likeness. We are to live generously. And remember, God healed 100%. That is the conclusion of my message. But I do want to pray for people that need healing. Anybody that is struggling financially, I'd be glad to also pray for them. And also, if you've never experienced that God that I'm talking about, that God that is generous, that God that loves you, I also would like you to come forward and talk to me about it. And I'd like you to accept the Lord as your Savior. Because life with Jesus Christ is fun. You know, it's fun when people ring you up and say, oh, do you need $100,000? You know, I've told you before, but I had a total stranger I had a coffee with, and I walked away with $500,000 to buy our street kids' farm. You know, that is the God we serve. He just cares for us. We got the musos around?